L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and Kyle Yates is on the show as well today. You can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Kyle, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, not much. I've been out working in the yard doing some landscaping over the past couple days. Got a big project. It feels good to like get my hands dirty again, get out in the yard. Actually, I've got like calluses developing on my hands, guys. So I don't know about you, but I love that feeling.
I think you're doing it wrong, man. I prefer to just be playing in front of the TV, give me a cold soda, some buffalo wings, I'm happy. Tags, what do you say?
Yeah, I still have some calluses on my hand back from the days of my old line of work, back like right out of high school. But no, I don't miss that at all. I love having baby soft hands now. It's kind of fantastic.
Yeah. All right, guys. So what we're going to do today, it's a rapid reaction show. So basically, the NFL schedule came out. We're just too excited to wait and do a podcast tomorrow or next week or whatever. We're going to talk about it right now. So we've got a couple topics in mind. First off, we've got a new podcast I want to tell you guys about. So you guys know Dan Harris. He comes on here all the time, right? He's doing a podcast called Game Changers. And our first episode came out. It's with Brad Evans. You guys know Brad. He was with Yahoo Sports. Now he's on his own. He's a maniac. He's a lot of fun. And it's basically talking to all the top fantasy analysts in the industry about their journey into fantasy sports and sports betting. And just offer advice to those who want to get started. Again, it's Game Changers, and you can check it out with Dan Harris. All right, guys, so we're going to talk about the schedule. I want to start with, actually, you know what? First, I want to start with strength of schedule, because we saw this come out. Patriots have the hardest schedule, and then the Jets and the Dolphins. Why is it, by the way, that the AFC East has the hardest schedule yet?
Man, I have no idea.
It's like always the opposite, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Typically, the Patriots have a pretty nice schedule. So, and then the year that Tom Brady leaves, now they actually have a tough strength of schedule. And of course, like strength of schedule is of course based on last year. And teams make drastic improvements. A lot changes throughout the offseason, so it has to be taken with a grain of salt. But it is at least a place for us to start the conversation. So the Patriots and Jets, particularly the Jets, I'm not happy to see them have a tough schedule ahead of them.
Yeah, and the easiest schedule is actually belongs to the Ravens, and it's not even close. This is based on winning percentage last year, so obviously some things changed. But 438 against winning percentage, Steelers second, Cowboys, Browns, Washington rounding out the top five. Tex, does this concern you whatsoever? Are you going to draft more Ravens because of this and less Patriots, or do you not care at all?
No. I mean, that stuff doesn't really bother me too much. It's just last year's record only means so much. And it's the same thing goes for strength of schedule, because there's a cookie cutter approach that people use towards strength of schedule. It's like, oh, fantasy points allowed from last year. That's not really a good measuring stick. I actually do a series for Fantasy Pros that basically I go through my own way of strength of schedule, in that I check out the consistency of each and every single team, and I kind of go through it and assign them a value, go through the schedule, and determine my own strength of schedule. I'll explain that in the article, but today is just a rapid reaction where, guys, you guys know, the schedule legitimately was released within an hour ago. Like, it's only been like an hour we've had to digest whatever's come out. And obviously,
just say it, man. We are big nerds.
We are absolutely nerds, and I've said that for a long time. But yeah, so this is just more of like a rapid reaction. Like what are a few things that jump out off the page to us where, you know, give us a few days, a few weeks, and we'll be able to figure out exactly how we apply this to fantasy football in 2020.
All right, guys, so this is what I want to start with, okay? Week one streamers, because this isn't something like, okay, we're going to talk about playoff schedules later. But who would have said that the Jags would have had the easiest defense against the Panthers, easiest defense against in weeks 9 through 17? It just depends on injuries, right? Now, we can look at that and make our best guesses. I'm not going to draft based on it. If you guys want to, we'll give you the information here. But week one streamers, that's actually tangible information. So who are you guys looking at? We'll start with you, Yates. Is there a player that stands out to you that you might actually want to draft because of his matchup in week one?
Yeah, absolutely. If we're looking at a late round QB strategy and we're kind of going off of that, and you know, I typically deploy that. I typically look at the final round of a draft before I'm drafting my quarterback, and I'm going to do it based on their week one matchup. Guys, I don't know if there's a better quarterback who has a week one matchup than Derek Carr versus the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers defense has been decimated through either retirements or players leaving in free agency. Now, yes, they did go 7-for-7 in the draft with adding defensive players, yeah, which is phenomenal. But yet you're still talking about, you're going to be trotting out rookies in week one to be the primary part of your defense, and you still have a very weak secondary. Like, that is something that, you know, Derek Carr, with his shiny new toys there with Henry Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, I mean, the list goes on and on for Lynn Bowden. Like, that's a talented unit there. So I think that, man, Henry Ruggs, 200 yards. Who said, you know, over under? I might go over.
You know, the Raiders, they don't really have a very good defense either. So this is a low key shootout in week one. I like the Derek Carr call. What do you think, Tags?
I like Carr just fine. I don't know if I feel great enough to draft him and play in week one, though. Obviously, this offseason, you know, with all the moving parts that are there with Oakland, or Oakland, Las Vegas. How many times, what's the over and under in times I'm going to say Oakland over the 2020 season?
150.
Yeah, that's a lot. But in reality, Derek Carr has not really shown much of his ceiling as a fantasy football quarterback. And knowing all these moving parts.
He hasn't had any wide receivers. He finally got some, man.
I know, but with no chemistry in the offseason, no time to get together with these guys, I do believe that's going to affect a lot of things. And they're going to be on the road for that game in Carolina. It's a cross-country trip. So I'm not particularly excited about him. I'm not against him, obviously, but there's just a whole lot of changes going on with them and the Panthers for me to feel particularly comfortable about it. I'll probably play him in some DFS tournaments at that point, but for now, I just don't feel great about drafting Derek Carr. Let's just be real about that.
I mean, he's my QB 23 right now, but how many times did we recommend starting Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Ryan Fitzpatrick last year? And guess what? It worked out, because when you get these defenses, they turn a Derek Carr, a low-end QB2, into a mid-range QB1. I'll be ranking Derek Carr in my top 12, but there's one quarterback that I didn't realize. I tweeted earlier, I'm going to be streaming Derek Carr everywhere. I changed my mind, because I'm going to be streaming Jimmy Garoppolo against the Arizona Cardinals, who were the worst defense against quarterbacks last year. Now, I like Garoppolo about the same as Carr, QB21, but he's got some upside. He's had some big weeks, and this is going to be an up-tempo game. Garoppolo's got some new weapons. I'm excited about this one. I'm going to be Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 quarterback in week one.
Well, and a fun fact about Jimmy Garoppolo, and the reason that he was actually the one I was going to bring up to say I'd play over Carr, was because if you look at his logs from last year against them, his two best games of the season, the entire season, both came against Arizona in a three-week span. He scored 29.7 fantasy points against them in week 11. He also scored 28.9 against them in week 9. Now, Arizona has gotten better on defense, but at the same time, Jimmy Garoppolo now has Brandon Ayuk to take the top off the defense. You know, he's going to be getting Jerick McKinnon, who could do some things in the passing game. George Kittle's healthy. There's a lot of reasons to like him. He's going to be at home. I would rather play Jimmy G than Derek Carr in week 1.
So do you have another streamer for us, Tags, that you like? Tight end, DST?
Well, if you want to look a little bit deeper, like whoever's starting for the Chicago Bears, I think it's a solid matchup. You know, Mitch Trubisky, I still believe that the Bears want him to win the job. Does he win it? I don't know. No matter who is starting, they're going to be going to Detroit playing in the dome there. And Trubisky, if you look at his game logs against Detroit, against this Matt Patricia defense under Matt Nagy, this team has actually done really, really well against Detroit. And they just lost Darius Slay, so they don't really have anyone. Don't pretend like a rookie's going to stop Allen Robinson, guys. So that should be a good matchup for them if you're looking really deep. And then Ben Roethlisberger, but again, he's coming off the arm injury. He is going on the road, which we know about Road Ben. But at the Giants, it's a matchup that's really tough to pass up.
Did you guys see Big Ben's extreme off-season workout exercise program?
Drink beer and not shave?
Yes, that's it. That's all it was. This isn't me making it up. I didn't see some picture. Like, this is what Big Ben himself said. So,
oh, he actually said that?
Yeah, he did. He was not very good either before he missed an entire season. I'll be picking on him in DST to start the year. I mean, he led the league in interceptions the year before he got hurt.
Well, I mean, Roethlisberger, it's kind of like Philip Rivers. They just don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Yates, why don't you give us another one? Do you have another one lined up?
Yeah, I mean, I'll dovetail right off what Tag said. I'll go with Philip Rivers against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, I think that, you know, the Jaguars defense lost a lot of pieces. And yes, they added some pieces through the draft. But again, it's the same logic as the Carolina Panthers. Are we going to feel comfortable about trotting out a ton of rookies? And Philip Rivers now has guys like Michael Pittman to throw to. T.Y. Hilton should be healthy. You know, some solid receiving options at the tight end. You have Jonathan Taylor to take pressure off of. Like, I just think he's walking into a great situation. Do I think that he'll finish as, you know, like a top five QB that week? No, I don't think so. But yet, as we're looking at purely streamers, guys who, I guarantee no one's going to draft Philip Rivers in your redraft leagues, you know? So I think that if you are looking for someone, Philip Rivers has a great matchup.
Yeah, he's had a lot of solid top 15 finishes last year. Jimmy Garoppolo only had three. It's kind of taking a risk, but against the Cardinals, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, it's interesting that you said Philip Rivers, because I was going to say one of his wide receivers. Obviously, you can't stream Hilton, but Paris Campbell's probably not going to be drafted in a lot of leagues. You can get him in the last round, use him in week one, then cut him after that, unless he gets a bunch of targets. And I think he's got some upside to be that wide receiver too in Philip Rivers' offense behind a great offensive line. So I'll be drafting some Paris Campbell. I also like Mohamed Sanu faced the Dolphins. Dolphins' secondary was horrible last year. He could be the number two wide receiver for the Patriots. In fact, I think he's probably the favorite to be tagged. What do you think about those two, Sanu and Paris Campbell?
I mean, those are more DFS dart throws. I don't think you're going to be like starting them in any season-long league right out of the gate. Just because you
don't think they're wide receiver fours that you could play in the flex right away?
But that's the thing. I really don't want to play wide receivers in the flex. I'd prefer to take a guaranteed workload and before I know like what the target share is going to look like. And New England, I mean,
you're going to be out there running out Ronald Jones. And he's going to get four touches, man. Give me the eight targets.
I mean, I guess we'll see about that. We can make a side bet about that one. I'll take Ronald Jones. But I mean, it really just depends. Those guys are a little bit harder to get into. The quarterbacks are easier to judge just because, like, we obviously know they're going to be out there and it's just a matter of the team they're playing. So I think a good conversation to have real quick about players that have, like, terrible matchups in week one. So, like, for instance, a lot of people like Matthew Stafford because he showed up big last year. Obviously, he has a lot of the same guys returning. DeAndre Swift joins the offense. He can catch passes out of the backfield. Hawkinson, year two, maybe he gets better. But Stafford plays the Bears in week one and then at Green Bay in week two. I hate that start to the schedule for him. He never plays very well against the Bears, so that's not great. And then at Green Bay with that pass rush, a little worried there. Like, do these guys just move off your draft list? Even if you have Stafford, let's say you have ranked as your number 12 or number 13 quarterback, would you not draft him because of that early schedule?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, to go with the Bears week one and then the Packers, which I think the Packers, their defense kind of took a hit, but, you know, they're still a good defense, right? So I think that he's not walking into a supreme matchup there in week two. So, you know, these people who are going to be going into a draft saying like, yeah, I'm going to draft Matthew Stafford because of X, Y, and Z. And then they get through the first 2 weeks and they're going to be like, no, I'm done with Matthew Stafford. Why did I draft him? You know, when you should be, if you're going to be taking a late round quarterback, make sure that you're paying attention to the matchup, which is why, like, Baker Mayfield, a lot of people are kind of buying into Baker Mayfield again. But look at his week one matchup against the Ravens. Like, the Ravens have a very, very solid defense. And
what are you going to do? You're going to draft Baker Mayfield as a flyer and then just not play him in week one? You're going to draft two quarterbacks and one of them's going to be Baker on the bench?
Yeah, you'd have to do that because he does play Cincinnati in week two. So it's a great match. I was going to bring him up actually as the next guy because he's someone that it's saying if you want to run a platoon situation and let's say that you like Jimmy G to take a step forward, he plays the Jets in week two. Maybe you could swap him out and say, you know, Arizona, Jimmy G, I'm putting you in. And then week two, Cincinnati for Baker, I'll go with you. Because at Baltimore is going to be tough for Baker, but it is, again, it's a new offense. There's a lot of surprises coming out. There's so many moving parts this offseason and so many different variables.
They actually have an offensive line. We'll see how he does with that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, two new tackles, obviously that's going to help. But yeah, it's an interesting debate. Stafford was the one that really made me wonder, just because I think a lot of guys are going to have him ranked as a top 12 quarterback. And, you know, does that make you drop him down your list?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought this up, because there's one guy that I'm absolutely not drafting based on his early season schedule. It has nothing to do with he's not good enough to be drafted. It's where he's going to be drafted. I don't want any shares of Le'Veon Bell at the Bills, face the 49ers, at the Colts, against the Broncos to start the season. I'm going to just go get him via trade after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough start.
And now that they added Frank Gore, I mean.
Yeah, buy him low, baby.
real
not,
quick.
Not Frank Gore. I'm never buying Frank Gore in fantasy. You're never going to use him. But you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, you should totally do that in our Dynasty League, Bobby.
Yeah, please do that in our Dynasty League.
But no, real quick. So, again, I know we're not diving too far into the fantasy angle because we haven't had a chance to totally dive into it. We just want to look at the early season schedule and maybe a little bit of the playoffs. And that's actually one thing I did want to mention. So, Dalvin Cook. Obviously, he's a guy that's going to carry a lot of people to, you know, they're hoping to carry to a fantasy championship, right? And if you have those aspirations, you need to look a little bit forward. I'm not going to change anybody based on their playoff schedule, I don't think. But if you're looking for a tiebreaker, something to lean you one way or the other, Dalvin Cook is going to be playing at Tampa Bay, who allowed like 3 yards per carry last year. They were dominant. They're playing against the Bears in week 15 and then at New Orleans in week 16. None of those matchups are good matchups for a running back.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But then again, would you have planned on using a running back against the Jags in week 16? Because that was the number one defense we were targeting.
True.
The Panthers, that ended up being the number two defense we were targeting. Those were two top five run defenses going into the year.
Right. So much can change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why the strength of schedule can be a little bit misleading, especially for something like running backs. But I think wide receivers is a little bit more useful just because... Like, think about this. Yates, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but my wide receiver strength of schedule piece that I put out, you know, that'll come out within a couple of weeks. It's basically, I look at the cornerbacks around the league, and you find the guys that are avoids. You know, when you have Jalen Ramsey on your schedule, Patrick Peterson, these are guys that are top-tier cornerbacks that if we're judging wide receivers year over year and saying this is a top-tier wide receiver, why can't we do that with cornerbacks? So I go through and I rank their schedule. So I think wide receivers are ones that you can actually look forward to their playoff matchups, because if someone's going against Tre'Davious White twice in the playoffs, you're probably going to be a little peeved about that. So it might be a reason to lower them or trade them as the, you know, as your trade deadline approaches. But it's definitely something to pay attention to.
Yates, Tags, either of you guys have any other week one matchups that you want to talk about before we move on?
I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts. I mean, a lot of people are going to be super excited about Joe Burrow, right? Especially with the landing spot and the receiving options that he has at his disposal. Like, week one is up against the Chargers. Do you guys feel comfortable with rolling out Joe Burrow week one against the Chargers?
No. The Chargers have a great defense. Like, if they had a quarterback, they'd be my Super Bowl pick, man. That team is stacked.
Yeah, I mean, they're a really good football team, but unfortunately, you know, after going, 5-11 last year, I think that was their record.
Well, they had a bunch of injuries, but yeah.
Yeah, and now going to Tyrod Taylor, I mean, that's a downgrade, or Justin Herbert, whatever you want to do, without a left tackle at that. So yeah, I would not feel comfortable with that, starting Burrow against the Chargers. That defense is the strength. They have a phenomenal pass rush. They obviously upgraded with Kenneth Murray over the middle of the field as a linebacker. Derwin James healthy the start of the year, that's going to help. And then yeah, they have Cleveland in week two. Cleveland is not a bad defense, and they also have a pass rush, so it might be best to wait it out with Burrow.
Yeah, I think that makes plenty of sense. Before we do move on, everyone's going to ask about DST, right? Because you're streaming the DST position. You better. If you listen to our podcast, you're streaming it. Draft the Philadelphia Eagles because they get Dwayne Haskins in week one. I don't think either of you guys are going to disagree with me about that. Like,
no.
The Eagles are a top two or three defense in week one. Their ECR is 13, so they're probably not going to be drafted unless you draft them.
Yeah.
I'll come out and say I agree with you, Bobby. I think that Darius Slay, adding him to that back end of that defense, yes, their linebackers need work, but yet you're talking about the wide receiver options there in Washington. Like, Terry McLaurin's great, but Antonio Gandy-Golden, Kelvin Harmon, like, right out of the gates, right, you know, immediate impact with Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable about that.
I mean, Haskins turned the ball over multiple times. I'd rather play the Eagles against Dwayne Haskins than I would rather play the 49ers face the Cardinals in week one. The number one DST, I'd rather have the Eagles.
You know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to say the Chiefs. And so they're going against Houston. Houston, we obviously know Deshaun Watson has taken a lot of sacks. This is going to be his first game ever without DeAndre Hopkins. And by the way, fun fact for you guys, I have not shared this on Twitter yet, but I was going to today and I just didn't for whatever reason. There is one team in the NFL who has not finished outside the top 12 defenses in each of the last 5 years. that one team is the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it's not. Yeah, what? Yeah,
they finished, going back to 2015, they finished 4th, 1st, 11th, 2nd, and 10th. So yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are always there. And
yeah. Well, it's because they're playing from ahead, and there's a lot more sack opportunities, interception opportunities, because teams are playing to catch up. Yeah, it makes sense. All right, guys, we're going to move on to playoff schedules here in just a second. Now, I told you the Game Changers podcast. You guys can find that on any popular platform, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, whatever. You guys can find the Game Changers podcast there. We've got another one, too. This one's also hosted by Dan Harris. It's the Betting Pros podcast, and we're recording a new episode tomorrow. We're going to be looking at the odds for NFL team futures, including division winners, AFC and NFC champions, and Super Bowl winners. So you can check out the Betting Pros football podcast with Dan Harris at bettingpros.com. All right, guys, so playoff schedules, what jumps out to you, Tex?
Playoffs, again, this is a really tough one to look forward because it's a whole three games, but taking a quick glance, I do happen to like Carson Wentz's playoff schedule against New Orleans that has shootout written all over it. You have at Arizona in week 15 and then at Dallas in a dome in week 16 when people are playing in the snow or whatever. Dallas, I mean, did they improve their defense this offseason? I maybe a little bit, but that offense is going to put points on the board and it's going to put a lot of teams in position to fight back. So they were the ones that jumped out to me from the early playoff schedules in terms of like they have a good schedule that I would like to attack.
I don't know, man. Cowboys were a top 10 defense for points allowed for quarterbacks last year. It wasn't bad, man.
Right, but that, I mean, I think it had more to do with the pace that they ran on that offense, and it was very slow it down, and if they can run it with Ezekiel Elliott, I think this is going to be a high-flying team. It's almost like, you know, like when we look at the Saints and we're like, oh, or the Falcons, right? We want to attack those teams because we know they're going to be high-scoring. Dallas is going to be one of those teams.
Yeah, so you mean Jalen Hurts, right? Because Carson Wentz is going to be hurt.
don't put that on.
I'm not putting that on. Just everyone knows I'm joking. Yay. Well, most people, all the Eagles fans are ready to send me hate tweets at Mike Tagliere NFL if you want to send them to me. So who do you have, Yates? I've got a team that stands out, but I'm not going to draft more of them because of their supposed playoff schedule, you know?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance really. I mean, again, we're talking about we're recording within the hour. So I really haven't had the chance to look at like overall team, you know, as far as their overall schedule. But week 15, Aaron Rodgers has a matchup against the Carolina Panthers. And again, we're talking about a defense that was decimated. So I think that that's going to be a matchup that I'm targeting. And, you know, I think that Aaron Rodgers was up and down all last season. You were finding him on your waiver wires towards the end of last year. So I think that it could be the same thing this year, especially with their new commitment to running running A.J. Dillon up the middle for, you know, 25 times a game or whatever. So,
how long is Aaron Rodgers going to play with this massive chip on his shoulder? Because, like, I can't wait for his week one matchup. I forget who they play against. It's the Vikings. Like, Aaron Rodgers, the Vikings, I think, have a pretty good defense. I find myself rooting for the Vikings. I like the Vikings. But Aaron Rodgers is going to put up 10 touchdowns on them in week one.
Yeah. I just can't wait for the first play call to come in from Matt LaFleur on the sideline, and Aaron Rodgers audibles out of it every single time. Like, it's going to be a run.
It'd be awesome.
A.J. Dillon up the middle, and he's like, you see him look over at the sideline and be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yes, he will tell A.J. Dillon, get off my football field. I want five wide receivers wide, and we're scoring on every play.
A.J. Dillon, flex out wide. Nope.
Keep going. And by the way, Davante Adams, if you miss out on Michael Thomas, don't even worry about it. Davante Adams might be the wide receiver one. I was looking at their schedule. Green Bay has, in terms of like how I viewed the wide receiver schedule, it looks like they have the best schedule in the NFL for wide receivers. And it just happened that two of their toughest games were against the Bears, and that one of the games against the Bears is in week 17. So it completely erases it from fantasy. So they kind of lucked out there. But Davante Adams has a phenomenal schedule, and they obviously have no other wide receiver.
He's the only wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, man.
Exactly. Yeah, he's going to be a stud. If he's on the field for 16 games, I think he's in a wide receiver one. I'm just going to say it because I think Michael Thomas does regress a little bit.
I'm not betting against Michael Thomas, man. Like, I could totally see it. No doubt about it. Davante Adams is a touchdown machine. Tags, I read an article that you wrote just a couple days ago where you were talking about your early rankings versus ECR. And you've got Aaron Rodgers QB7. The reason why, he's never not been QB7 or higher until last year when his touchdown rate was just so dang low, man. There's no way that happens again. There's no way he's rolling at a touchdown rate that low.
Yeah, and he was without Davante Adams for, I think it was 4 or 5 games in that stretch too. Learning a new offense, dealing with Matt LaFleur. He still has to deal with that child, but...
Child.
Yeah, it's a real problem for Rodgers, but at the same time, like, honestly, when I look through the numbers and people talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is and how great these guys are, if you were to go and say, let's just fast forward and say Patrick Mahomes is 35 years old and Andy Reid says, we're going to draft a quarterback, we're going to move towards a run-first offense, how many people would want to smack him? Now, the thing is, that's how I feel about Matt LaFleur, is that he just doesn't understand that what he has under center. And I know that Rodgers has regressed a bit, but I think it comes down to his wide receivers just not gaining separation, and he has zero trust in them. But speaking of Patrick Mahomes, by the way, guys, his playoff schedule is kind of ridiculous. He's going to play at Miami, at New Orleans. Oh, give it all to me in week 15. And then against Atlanta in week 16. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win some fantasy leagues.
He's going to put up 120 fantasy points in those 3 weeks, but not as many as Ryan Tannehill, because Ryan Tannehill gets the Jags, the Lions, and the Packers. I love that matchup.
That's a good stretch.
He was the QB2 from the time he took over as the starter.
Yeah, he was good. Where do you guys have Ryan Tannehill ranked?
QB11, man, and I feel really weird about it. Like, I feel embarrassed to admit that.
I have him at 15.
You do you? Okay.
I have him at 18, but he should be higher.
Yeah.
You have him at 18? Yeah, you got to change that, man. When did he take over? Because, like, he was throwing, like, 24 passes a game, and he was still amazing.
He actually took over in week 7.
He was QB2 in points per games. He was QB3 behind Lamar Jackson. And trivia question, who can name the number 2 quarterback from week 7 on?
Daniel Jones?
No. Okay, what's your guess, Yates?
I want to say Kyler Murray, but I don't think that's right.
So those are both good guesses. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick, guys.
I was going to say that. Dang it.
Oh, man.
Oh, speaking of Fitzmagic, you're not streaming him week 1 against New England.
No, you're not. You're not. How long until he surrenders the job? Because he was awesome.
It all depends on if Tua starts on the pup.
Yeah, it's his health, basically. They want him to start, but at New England and versus Buffalo in the first 2 weeks, and then they get a softie and going to at Jacksonville, but it's going to be a rough start for Fitzpatrick in those first 2 weeks.
Watch Ryan Fitzpatrick still come out and throw for like 303 each game.
And they beat the Patriots. Actually, right. You know what? Playing in Miami, they might beat the Patriots. Okay, so we're going to move on to the last phase of our podcast, and here's what we're going to talk about, okay? We just want to get people hyped. NFL is happening, folks. What is your favorite matchup that you're most looking forward to? I already mentioned the Packers-Vikings. I've got one more that I love more than any other, and Tag, you already took it. So I'm saying it before anyone else can. The Saints and the Chiefs in Week 15? Are you kidding me? So we've got the fantasy playoffs, huge scoring, and a Super Bowl preview. Again, it's the Saints and the Chiefs.
Is that going to be a Monday night game?
I don't think it was.
Oh, that's terrible. That's a missed opportunity right there.
Regardless, man, I'm so pumped.
No, you know what the Week 15 Monday Night Football is that week? Steelers at Bengals.
Get out of here.
You have the Chiefs and the Saints playing in Week 15, and you put the Steelers and Bengals on Monday Night Football?
It's a missed opportunity, man. I mean, that's a preview of the Super Bowl right there.
I'm sad. Okay, make me happier, Yates. Give me another matchup to be excited about.
That makes me think of like the Rams-Chiefs game from a couple years ago. Remember that game that like netted like...
Yeah, like over under 100?
Yeah, 55-51. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, so I'll go with... this isn't going to be necessarily like a huge fantasy game, but this is just one that I'm so excited to watch. It's week 11, Tennessee Titans at the Baltimore Ravens. It's a rematch of the AFC divisional game from last year where the Titans beat the Ravens. So the Ravens, I guarantee the Ravens already have this game circled on their calendars. Like, I bet that they are already licking their chops waiting for this game. Like, I think this is just going to be a bloodbath, and I think it's going to be so much fun to watch.
You know, a lot of people think Lamar Jackson just kind of choked. Guys, he was playing with the flu against the hottest team in the NFL. I can't wait to see Lamar Jackson come out and just be the man again. He was so fun.
We got to keep Bobby away from doctor reports as the season goes on.
Why? Every single time that you were like, oh, no, I'm not going to fade the guy because of the flu. He sucked every single time, dude.
I remember when you used the flu like for like 3 different games for Mike Evans. The reason he was bad, it was pretty funny.
And it was right, man. So eat it. Eat it, baby.
So he next time someone has the flu, it. Bobby, I don't care if it's Christian McCaffrey on your team, bench him.
You know what I did? I finished top 5 in the betting pros accuracy last year. Do you know why? Because I only bet the games when key players had the flu. That was it. I'm exaggerating, but I really did bet that like almost every time that
that's
I heard
fantastic.
About All right, Tags, give us one more, baby.
Yeah, my game is week one. I knew it would be week one because I just can't wait for football to come back and see those starters play all four quarters. And one of those games that I'm so looking forward to is the New Orleans Saints hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, his first game with the Bucs, obviously, that's an afternoon game. It's not a primetime game, which kind of sucks, but it is in the afternoon, so it's going to be on a little smaller slate. But I think that the Bucs are going to have a rude awakening, and I think the Saints pounce them. But I think it should make for a welcome to Tampa Bay. This isn't going to be all you thought it was going to be, Tom Brady.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. The Bucs have a much improved defense as well. I'm not going to be watching that game, though. I'm going to be watching Joe Burrow.
Again, the Buccaneers at Saints on Sunday. And the Monday night game is Steelers at Giants.
Yep. It's not
and then
great.
Titans at Broncos.
The second Monday night game is always terrible. Always.
Well, it's because they got to get the Bucs on primetime in other weeks. Like, everyone's going to watch primetime football no matter who the teams are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you remember that stretch last year of Monday Night Football games that was looking forward like 7 or 8 games? You were just like, I don't want to watch any of those games.
Yes, I do remember. The Bears were on it for a few of them, actually.
It was pretty ugly. But anyway, we get football, guys. It's coming, baby. Just a couple months, we'll be doing our fantasy football drafts. We'll be here for you. We'll also be here for you all off season. So make sure to hit that subscribe button. Listen to all the episodes on our podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun preparing for your drafts coming up. And we've also got other podcasts. We talked about the Game Changers podcast, where we're talking to the fantasy analysts who were game changers in the industry, how they got involved, how you can get involved, get your foot in the door in the industry and have your dream job. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out on any platform, Stitcher, iTunes, and also check out our Betting Pros football podcast with Dan Harris at bettingpros.com. For Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.